I'm going to be speaking to you this morning on the subject of why the wise men were called wise. And the reason for that is because I don't think there's anybody in here that wants to be foolish. We all want to be wise, right? Amen? It's true that we all have done some stupid and foolish things in our lives, right? Yeah. And most of the time when we've done or spoken foolishly, we didn't realize what we were doing. For example, we wouldn't willingly destroy or tear down something or someone we love or care about. Yet many of us have done just that in our foolishness and stupidity and our hurts and how we felt. We've hurt our husbands, our wives, our marriage, our children, and sometimes even ourselves. Amen. So, we're going to read Matthew chapter 2 this morning, verse 1. We also, while we talk about this, we want us to realize that the god of this world, Satan, is at work in and through our flesh, filling our thoughts and minds with doubt and worry and fear and causing us to maybe do some wrong things. And say some wrong things. So that's why we're having this study. Amen? Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And if you notice on the screen, the little icon we had up there earlier, it shows the wise men coming. They came a long, long ways. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all the Jews were with him. Verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, is in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star should appear. And he sent, verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Verse 11, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed the country another way. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 and 26 tells us that
those that are unsaved and that are taken captive by the snare of the devil.
And this is the very reason the Word of God instructs us to speak evil of no one and to watch what we say or speak, because the Bible also says we are snared by the words of our mouth. We're snared by the words of our mouth. James chapter 3. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. We all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire is kindled. One match can burn a whole forest. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the image of similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So now as we look at why the wise men were called wise, so we can follow their example, let's look at them. First, they were wise in the fact that they were searching for the Lord. We read in verse 1, where is he? They become searching for him. We've seen his star. We have come to worship him. So they were searching for a living being, the Son of God. They didn't even know his name, Jesus. But they had come a long ways. They weren't searching for a religion. They weren't searching for a new teaching or something to believe. They weren't even searching for an experience. And I'm saying these things because a lot of times that's the reason we come to the Lord. We're looking for an experience. We're looking for a theology or a philosophy or something to believe. And that was not what they were searching for. They were seeking a person, a king, a savior. And so that's what we were searching for. When we were lost and out there in darkness and away from God, we heard the scriptures about Jesus probably, or for whatever reason we came to a church, and first thing we realized that we needed to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So the first thing that, if we learned anything from the preaching, if we've been in under gospel preaching, the first thing that we'd learned, and many of us were even taught by our parents while we were young, that what you need to find is not a church, it's not a religion, it's not a denomination, it's a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know from the Bible and from the scriptures, he's not dead, he's alive. In fact, many of the people that followed him, and many wrote the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John,
All the disciples, just about nearly every one of them, I think, except maybe John, lost their lives in following Jesus. And they realized that to be absent from the body as a believer and as a Christian and someone who has confessed Jesus Christ and not just confessed Him but had received Him, because the Bible says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. Amen? So it's not just a believe thing. It's a received thing. And so when we come to Him, whenever we come to Him, we're not coming to something. We're coming to Him. We're believing in Him. We're praying to someone who is a resurrected and alive and who lets us know and experience the reality of His presence by His peace. Amen? Before I was a Christian, and when I thought about it, if I thought about hell or if I thought about dying, and I didn't really know, even though I joined the church when I was 12 years old and was baptized, boy, when I hit my teenage, I didn't live like a Christian at all. I didn't even want to be a Christian. But that was when I was a teenager. But when I came to the realization that if I died, I was going to slip out in eternity without God, then I began to seek the truth. I began to seek the Lord. And the only thing that I had to do with my salvation, I didn't go to a cross and die, and none of us can pay for our sins. That's why God sent His Son, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, that is, puts their trust in Him, relies on Him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. And someone said, and I believe this is true, and you can put your name in there if you want to, that when the Bible says whosoever, that includes you, that includes me. Whosoever. Are you a whosoever? All right, so whenever we come to Him by faith, and the Bible says if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. So when I did that, or when you did that, or we did that, and hopefully you have done that, I think probably everybody in here has done that, I hope. If not, you can do it anytime, wherever you are. Because He's in Him we live and move and have our being. In God we live and move and have our being. You can't go anywhere from the presence of God. And He's the God that loves you and has sent His Son for you. So, in humility, we can come to Him at any time and say, Lord, I'm calling on You. And I believe in Jesus and I confess Him as my Lord and Savior. And I know that He's the only one that can forgive me of my sins. He washes us from our sins, the Bible says, in His own blood. And has made us priests in God and to our Father. Amen. And God becomes our Heavenly Father. We're not just believing in something. We are receiving something, and we are placed into the kingdom of God. And the Bible says that we are born again. We're a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So you're a new creation. And I think I've said this before, talking about spiritual warfare and how the enemy comes and tries to do things, is that when the enemy comes to try to accuse me, you shouldn't have said that, you shouldn't have done that. How can God say somebody like you, you did this and you lived that way and you hated God and all the bad things, all the things that he can bring up in our minds? you ought to be able to say, and you should say, the Bible tells us in James 4:7 to resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So when those thoughts are coming into your mind and you don't want them there, guess who's putting them there? That's the devil. And you resist him. And you resist him with the Word of God. And one of the things that I say to the devil, get away from me in Jesus' name. You're not talking about to the new creation that I am in Christ Jesus. You're talking about the old man, and he's dead. He's been crucified with Christ, and you're trying to talk to me about a new creation, and in my new creation, I'm a born-again child of God. So get away from me. Amen? I resist you in Jesus' name. And then start singing Amazing Grace, or put something else in your mind. Amen? The Bible says believe the Scriptures and memorize the Scriptures and know the Scriptures. And how do you think Jesus warded off the enemy? How did Jesus... The enemy knows more about Scriptures than you do, and I do, or we do. And he tries to use the Scriptures just like he did. You can read Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, when the enemy was... Satan was tempting Jesus and trying to get him to sin. He tried to get him to doubt who he was. And one of the things, that's one of the things, the way the enemy tries to defeat us too as believers, he tries to get us to doubt that we're saved. He tries to fill us with worry and tell us that we're not saved. And how can God save somebody like us? And how many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you have been perfect since you've been saved? I'm not raising my hands either. We're perfect in Christ. We're not perfect in this life and in ourselves. Amen. We're perfect in Him because we've been born again by the Spirit of God, and we're new creations in Christ Jesus. And I've got completely away from what I was going to be talking about. So they were not searching for a doctrine or a religion or a new teaching or anything like that. They were searching for a person, and that's who we need to be searching for. Not only that, when we get up every morning, we need to look towards Him every day. God says to His children, how many of us are born again? How His children? I will supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory. Amen? So He knows when we have needs, but He said you have not because you ask not. So we need to ask. Amen? So we've come to worship Him. They were searching for Him, not to get something from Him either, but to worship Him. Because they thought they knew that they had already received something from Him. Amen. They had received faith to believe in Him and put their trust in Him. And so when we discover, after we've been born again by the Spirit of God, and we discover what God, and we may not completely, I didn't understand when I, I didn't understand a whole lot about anything. Even though I was brought up in a church and brought up in Sunday school and all of that. But when I stepped out of the aisle and come down to the altar and prayed and asked God to come into my life and to save me, I didn't understand totally at all at that point in time what happened to me. But I did know that something happened to me. Amen. Now I'm telling you what happened to you. If you'll read the Word of God, He'll tell you what happened to you also. And then, when we understand what we've received from Him and what He's done for us, we'll be thankful. And we'll want to worship Him. Amen? So they were wise because they were searching for the Lord. I'm going to have to hurry. They were wise because... They were searching. In other words,
it wasn't a casual thing. It wasn't, I can just take this or leave it kind of an attitude. It was a very important matter to them. And it also should be a very important matter to us. This became a priority to them. And so much so that they traveled and left everything and traveled a long, long ways in order to find him and to get there. And it wasn't that they were trying to get something from him. It was worth their time and effort to find him. And they traveled a long way to find him. They come from the east. Then they didn't know where to find him there, but they thought, well, maybe the king would know. So anyway, they didn't know. He didn't know either, but they sent him to Bethlehem, and they departed and went to Bethlehem. And so it has to be a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives has to become a priority to us. We have to want that. We have to desire that. As far as I'm concerned, there's not anything else more significant and more important in your life than that, in my life. And not only do I worship him, but, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself again, but when they found him, they not only worshiped him, they presented him with gifts. Amen? Now somebody probably say, well, the pastor's going to ask for an offering after this. Well, you're right. I am. But the offering is very simple. I want you to give yourself to him. I want you to give yourself to him. If you give yourself to him, you'll receive the greatest blessing you've ever received in your life. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you'll have his peace that passes all understanding. When you're going through troubles and problems and trials, and let me tell you, you're not going to be exempt from troubles and problems and trials, because now you've made the devil your number one enemy. You no longer want anything to do with him, and you're through with him. So now you're going to come under. That's why the Bible says put on the whole armor of God. As a Christian, you need to put on the whole armor of God. Because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world. That's who our battle is. And the only way we can overcome that is through the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And there's been a lot of times whenever I'm going through something in my life, and boy, and maybe I've already stumbled and fallen, and I have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, please forgive me. I don't want to be in this situation. And the Bible says, if you're a child of God, if we're a child of God, in 1 John 1, I think it's verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? That doesn't mean that we don't want to go out and sin deliberately. But if we're living in this world, it's kind of difficult not sometimes to want to smack somebody. I mean, maybe not with your fist, but with your tongue, your sword. You know, or be angry, or be hurt, or be judgmental, or any of those things. And that the enemy tries to use all of those things to not separate us from Christ, but to get us out of fellowship with him, so that we're no longer doing what he wants us to do. We're doing what the enemy wants us to do. Are you with me? And that's the reason why we need
the Lord so much in our lives in such a daily relationship with Him so that we can overcome and that we know how to put on the armor of God and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the shield of faith. And the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So that's the reason why when you're born again, generally, the most important thing is you may not understand all of it, but read it anyway. I don't understand a pot roast. I don't understand a hamburger. I don't understand lettuce and cheese, but that doesn't keep me from eating them and enjoying them. Amen? Are you with me? So that's why we get into the Word of God, because the Word, I don't care. Somebody said, oh, I just read this, Brother Lewis, but I don't understand it. And I said, well, would you tell me what it is? Well, son, not half the time I don't understand it either. We need God's revelation. But until we read it and look at it and try to understand it, we won't understand it. But as we read it, we don't realize that it's not feeding our body. I don't go sit down and read the Word of God and study the Word of God, and I've been doing that for over 60 some odd years now, thank God. And when I read it, I don't get full in here. I still want to go eat a piece of chicken or a ham sandwich or something. I shouldn't have said ham. That's a dirty word to some people. But the Bible says if I give thanks for it, it's okay. Yeah. Give thanks for everything. Amen? So I learn. And I don't understand it, but I read it. And then I ask the Lord to show me. Give me some of it I understand. It's really simple. It's really simple when you read, for God so loved the world, He gave His own begotten Son for you. It's really simple. When He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's really simple. When He said, I'm with you always. It's really simple. When He says, I'll hear your prayers, I'll answer your prayers. You have not because you ask not. That's simple stuff. Amen. And so we learn. We learn how to take the sword of the Spirit, and we learn how to take the shield of faith, and we learn how to put on the helmet of salvation. The Bible tells us to do all of those things. Read Ephesians, I think it's chapter 4, somewhere over there. Amen. So they were searching. It wasn't a casual thing. It wasn't an easy thing. It was a priority to them. And so living for Jesus should, and having Him come into our lives, He says, seek you the Lord while He is near, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 4, you shall seek me and find me. If you search for me with all your heart, seek the Lord while He's near. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. See, He's telling us what to do in order to enjoy our relationship with the Lord. And I just quoted Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. See, ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find. Isaiah 55, 6. Seek ye the Lord while He's near. Deuteronomy 4, 29. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me. Then, I'm running out of time. They were wise in that they followed the star. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, He will always lighten us up the path to, or the way to salvation for those who seek the Lord. And He will always direct them to Jesus. He won't direct them to religion or denomination or whatever. He will direct them. He won't direct them to a bunch of do's and don'ts. Do all of this and do all of that, and you'll work out your own, you'll be saved. He doesn't do that. He always directs us to Jesus. So the Holy Spirit as the star did. And as they followed the star, the Holy Spirit led them to Jesus, directed them to Jesus. And the Bible says in verse 9, the Matthew that we just read, it came and the star came, which represents, I believe, the Holy Spirit, came and stood over where the young child was. That's the only place it could come, because in Acts 4:12 it says there is no other name. Listen. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the only name. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the only name whereby you must be saved. And I'm not, the Bible says that. Amen? So, if you're led by the Holy Spirit, if we're led by the Holy Spirit, it'll always lead us to Jesus. Because that's where our answer is. It led them to the one place they could get the correct directions. That led them, first of all, to Jerusalem, to the house of God. They went and had the... They heard the scriptures. Amen? Go to Bethlehem, you'll find him there. There they found the word of God, the scriptures, which always leads us to salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it'll always get you into the scriptures so that you can find the answer for yourself. Not only just to find the Lord Jesus Christ, but to find everything that he wants you to know. It all comes from there. They were wise in that they followed the word of God. They did what it said. James 1:22 tells us, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Matthew 7:24 says, Matthew 7:20 said, whosoever hears these words, Jesus said, whosoever hears these words and doeth them is my disciple. I'm almost through. They were wise in that they presented gifts to him. And I've said the greatest gift one can give to the Lord. When we meet the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll always worship him, and we will present him with gifts of worship. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:1-2, present your bodies as Christians and as believers, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God's not asking anything from you that he didn't give himself. For God so loved the world, that includes you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son. And when he gave his only begotten Son, and I'm going to close with this. When he gave his only begotten Son, he knew that he was going to be killed. He knew that he was going to die the most cruel death and punishment that anybody, any human being could receive, which was a death on a cross. He knew that. Jesus knew that. Jesus said, I come to do the will of my Father. And when Jesus in the garden, because being a man and a human being, you see, as God, he knew everything. He didn't need to know anything. He knew everything. He knew what we were going through. He knew everything. But you see, that was as God, but as a man, he needed to experience that for himself. His blood, as the Lamb of God, his blood needed to be shed so that we could be washed by his blood and cleansed from our sins and become his children and be birthed into his kingdom. So when he was in the garden, right before his death, right before they took him to the and beat him, with stripes so that his back was bloody with a whip they beat him. His beard was plucked from his face. He was spit on and he was hit by heavy men's shoulder by their fist. He was probably so marred he was unrecognizable. He was so weak he couldn't even carry his cross. He fell. And he knew that was coming. And he knew he couldn't do it on his own. And when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he knew what was about to happen, and he could picture and understand, and so he said, "Lord, if there's any possible way," this is what he was praying to his Heavenly Father, God, "if there's any possible way, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to have to go through this. Is there, if there's any possible way?" And God had to turn his face. And that's the reason. You listen to this. That's the reason. When he died, the sun went black. And there was darkness for 3 hours. And also, and I don't have time to get into this. I wish I did, because if you read in the Old Testament about the temple and the high priest went once a year behind the veil in the tabernacle into the Holy of Holies, and he went in there with blood and he poured it on the altar, which was a type of Christ. That's the reason why we read in Matthew and I think in Luke that when Jesus died, the veil in that temple was rent in half from top to bottom, and that thereby God was showing, hey, you don't need this religion, you don't need to do this anymore. That veil was Jesus' flesh, and when he died, that door was open, and God saying, "You're welcome through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what you've done, you're welcome. Come on in." Amen. And when you get there, worship him. Amen. Amen. He's always taking care of us, even whether we realize it or not. Oh, I wish I could. I wanted to tell you another story. And I'm telling you this story because I want you to know that God loves you, and he just like he loves me. There's no difference in his love for me than his love to you. And he will supply all your needs according to the riches and glory. Now, I want to... When my youngest daughter, when my children graduated from school, I was working. I was making good money. I worked for an engineering company, and I was a superintendent, and I ran jobs, and I worked at all the major refineries from here to Duncan, Oklahoma. And I had a good job, and I made good money. And so when my children graduated from school, I gave them a car. It may not have been a brand new one, but I gave them a car because I knew they needed to get to and from work and whatever. When my youngest daughter graduated, I bought her a car. And she was going to get a job. She'd already got a job, and she was going to pay for it, make the payments on it. So I bought the car. He had a job, and she started making the payments on it. About 6 or 7 months down the road or whatever, she came to my house and she said, "Dad, here's the keys. I'm getting married. He already has a car. We don't need this car." Here I am. Now I have two cars. My wife has a car. I have a truck. Now I have another car, which I don't need. I run ads in the paper. I did everything under the sun for about three or four months. I tried to get rid of that car. I just tried to give it away, practically. And so one day, after going through, And I was working at the Naval Air Station at that time as a Title II inspection with an engineering company. And so I even went around the naval base and advertised the car, little cards all over the bulletin boards and everything. No one. So somebody told me about their son or whoever it was, brother, in the New Essex County Jail. So I told my boss at the Naval Air Station, I said, I need to take off at lunch. I'm going to go down to the New Essex County Jail and visit a person, and I'll be right back. So as I was driving down SPID, going to the jail, it was just like the Lord come and sit down in my front seat with me. I mean, it was just like He was there. And He was telling me some things, and I was talking to Him. And so I thought, wow, this has never happened before. And I thought, while He's here, and I've got Him in a good mood, I'm going to ask Him about that car. I didn't even have to ask Him. He laughed at me. As He was going out the door, He said, by tomorrow it'll be sold at 10 o'clock. The next day it was sold at 10 o'clock. So now I'm telling you this for a reason, because I want you to understand God is a practical God, and He loves you, and He's concerned about everything that goes on in your life. If it's a car, if it's finances, if it's whatever it is, He knows what's going on, and He wants to help you. But you need to understand that it comes from Him. And you need to give Him the praise and the honor and the glory for everything that happens in your life. Not the bad. Well, you can even thank Him. You don't want to thank Him too much for the bad things. Right? But understand that through the bad things, He's trying to teach you something. He's trying to teach us something. So I've learned to say this prayer when I'm going through a bad situation. And I've been through a lot of them. I've just come through one. And I say, Lord, I don't know what it is. I wouldn't be here if You hadn't brought me here. I mean, this life has brought me to this circumstance and situation, and You know why I'm here, and so I know there's something You're trying to teach me. So would You please let me know what it is You're trying to teach me so I can get out of this mess now? And sometimes He says, I'm trying to teach you patience. You might as well give up when He says that. I'm learning patience. Lord, I'll be patient. Well, then shut your mouth and sit down. I'll take care of it. Amen? I just want you to know that God says in His Word He's not any respecter of persons. What He'll do for one of His children, He'll do for all of His children. Because we're all the same, and there's no difference in any of us. We're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? Thank You for being here this morning. I pray God's richest blessings upon every one of you. He is your Father. He'll take care of you. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Brother Tony, you dismiss us, please, sir. Amen.